Hello and welcome to edition 208 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula 1 podcast recorded right here in Norfolk, UK. Brought to you by our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up to the game by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1. My name is sports journalist Michael Bailey, and in this podcast, we're going to bring you our 2017 USA Grand Prix predictions. In this pod, when will Hartley hit Daniel? When will Lewis sound most like a US citizen? And when will Ferrari blow it this time? Joining me on the pod for the final time this week, we have Carl Cumbers, Richard Baxter, and Callum Springall. Druty's still here too, which is lovely. Everyone, well done. I'm sure we're all very well. We're going to rattle through. Before we do get stuck into the prediction business, our USA preview podcast is available to listen to on your podcast player of choice. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe and you'll be able to find your link to the player you use. And if you can't, email us nrf1podcast@gmail.com and I'll make sure we have a link for your podcast player. So, predictions league update. How's it been going? Well, first of all, go to nrf1.uk/predictf1 and you'll see that the table is up to date after the Japanese Grand Prix. So that's great. All the standings are up to date. Now, I need an explanation here. I've basically gone all Bernie Eccleston over you. And I've decided that actually people put in good people doing great work with the predictions, lovely. But is it fair that the kudos points, the soul of the prediction league, the bit where people put things forward that haven't got a hope in hell of happening, should be completely disregarded? A separate competition that doesn't mean as much. No. I think, and therefore, as Bernie of this podcast, I've just basically implemented two-thirds of the way through the season, that a new algorithm that does take into account kudos points. Now, wait for it, Carl. The good news for Steve is he's still top. Even my fixing of the sit. No, I'm not fixing anything. But he has a wonderful success rate in terms of the success percentage, and therefore is quite rightly still on top. But we now have a situation where equally, if you go ludicrous for most of your predictions, you get due reward in the final standings too. I think that's only fair. I'm going to ask your opinions, even though I'm not going to take them into account.
I mean, changing it two-thirds of the way through
is isn't it? What a
it's interesting. We'll say that. But yeah, you make some good points. But the kudos points is just based on you and you what you see it as. I mean,
our select panel of adjudicators award the stewards, they award the kudos points on merit of predictions that are usually wholly unrealistic, yet we're still perfectly capable of happening.
Yeah, true. Go for it. I mean, I think I was 12th beforehand and I've stayed 12th, so
yeah. You've been bang average in both this season, I'm afraid. Yeah. Carl, not to be too harsh, but
yes, but I was very interested to see who was second, and I was, and I'm glad you explained that when I looked at it today. I was like, wow.
Yeah, too true. I mean, well. Yeah. I mean, Rich, you have got 70 kudos points, which is second only to Kurt S, who are, you know, serial kudos points hunters.
Yeah, I think this is a brilliant idea. This is the best thing you've ever done for the podcast, possibly. I can think of other great things as well, but I think it's absolutely fantastic, and I think everyone should go for the kudos points. I'm going to keep going because I want to be top. I want to beat this 73.
Well, I mean, God knows what happens if you actually beat Steve by the end of this season.
But also be interesting to see how Steve reacts to this news.
I think Steve was sort of knew this was happening and sort of rolled his eyes.
I think if you started taking points away for being boring, then that would be the complete move. But this is good. This is like reaching the pinnacle, you know. It started in the middle, it's gone up.
You say it's a complete move. What this does is it does free up the fact that if people start predicting things that are wholly pointless to predict, such as, I don't know, a Mercedes will pick up points. Off, of course they will, most likely. That is going to get a minus kudos point because, yeah, it might. There is a possible chance it might not happen, but in reality, it is very much going to happen. This gives an air of ability to, before the prediction happens, react to how goddamn awful or brilliant the prediction is. Callum, how do you feel about it all? Have I crushed the integrity of the competition? As I said, it's a Bernie move, so it's a, you know, understandable result of it.
Does this also mean that you would get a kudos point for predicting that somebody would launch off the run up to the first corner at Austin and end up on Mars.
Yep. I mean, that would be quite ridiculous.
That's my first prediction.
Excellent.
Then.
Well done. Okay. All right. Well, maybe I'll have to tweak it again. You know, I can do whatever I want. So yes, fair point. Well, that is true. There is a spirit to these predictions.
But then saying that, most of my kudos points have been things which aren't completely irrational. There've been things that could possibly happen.
Exactly. No, that's the art. In fairness, that is the art of the kudos point. Sorry, Callum. Is to not predict something that's really craziness, but something that is really, you know, pushing the boundaries of Formula One because you want to be entertaining. We're rewarding entertainment. And it might happen. Sometimes it does happen. Not always. Not a lot of the time. Not very often. But sometimes it can happen.
This is like the time when they took away the what was it, blown exhaust for one race.
Yes.
And Ferrari just completely beat everyone.
This is exactly what it is. This is exactly it. And, you know, it's a Formula One prediction league. And that's... And no one who's a Formula One fan should be either surprised or disappointed this has happened. Because this is what happens in Formula One.
Can we like double points for last race? Or
well, maybe I'll see.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We'll put it to the teams group, and they'll decide later on what happens. So that's the way we roll. So there we go. If you go to nrf1.uk/predictf1, you can also start getting predictions for what the prediction league algorithm will be. But you can see all the standings. Steve, as I said, is top. Then it's Rich, and then Andy and Kieran Cousins. They're all in the proper fight for the title. So we'll, you know, be keenly watching how that all plays out over the rest of the season. Which, of course, leads us now to predict what will happen at the USA Grand Prix, Mars included, possibly. So, Rich, you want to go first, as you've got them all written down?
Yeah, I feel quite confident for once.
Never seen him stand so tall. Look at him.
My first one, I'm going to say, gone slightly American themed or something, but the first one I'm going to say with Hartley, I'm going to say that he will crash the Toro Rosso in second practice. So not just spin, I'm going to say he's going to crash it so... Being America with big runoff areas, I'm gonna, you know, be quite impressive if he does.
Is there anything to hit? Yeah.
But I'm going to say he's going to crash, so there'll be damage done to the car and during second practice. The next one, I'm going to say both Haas to score points.
So you're not getting a kudos point for that.
That's my safe one. Got to go safe for one of them. The next one, I'm going to say there will be a pre-race flyover with a B-52.
Right.
The plane.
Yeah, I got not the band.
Well, you see, obviously, like the red arrows and everything, I always do flyovers. So I'm going to say a B-52 will fly.
I'm just a bit worried with, you know, how things are in the world that it might. Yeah, just carry on, go on.
Next one, I'm going to say Sainz. He will finish in the top 10 for Renault. Have a good race. And the last one, I'm going to say Ferrari won't suffer a mechanical failure during a race.
Whoosh.
I'm going to say their luck's going to turn around.
Yeah. Done?
That's my five.
This is five. Fabulous five. Callum, would you like to go next?
Yeah, go on then.
Go on.
I think somebody will take a knee during the national anthem.
Oh! Who?
Well, there was talk that Hamilton was going to do it. So
I mean, it does sort of sound like the sort of thing he'd do.
Yeah.
And he's the only black driver in Formula One.
Which isn't great for Formula One.
I think there will be an aborted start.
Aborted start?
One of the teams will get a double DNF. I think in qualifying in Sector 1, Mercedes will be fastest. Then in Sector 2, Mercedes fastest again. And in Sector 3, it'll be Ferrari.
Thanks.
For a second, I was hoping you'd just say Mercedes, just to be really...
The gap between first and second will be at most 0.2 of a second. And somebody's going to end up on Mars.
Oh, for f***'s sake.
Someone's going to get on Photoshop now and just put Alonso in that deck chair on Mars, aren't they?
First person to do that gets a kudos point. Most definitely. Druti, do you want to have a go at some predictions?
Oh, you've literally put me on the spot.
Yeah. We'll come back to Druti. Kyle.
Let's go. Haas predictions.
Yeah.
One Haas.
Home Grand Prix.
Home Grand Prix, yep. One Haas in Q3 and one Haas in the points. The five drivers out in Q1 will be Wöhrlein, Ericsson, Gviat, Hartley and Sainz. Vettel will win.
That would be exciting.
Yeah. I just think Hamilton's a clear favourite, but it's just he's not going to win. His winning streak's bound to finish soon.
We all hope.
And a random sort of top six finish. Let's go for the Hulk top six finish.
Hulk top six finish. Yeah. I like that.
Can I make another one?
Yes, Callum, go on. As long as it doesn't involve planets.
I think Mercedes will become Constructors' Champions again.
Cool. Right, my turn. Lewis Hamilton's going to win the race. Seriously. Yeah.
No one ever said that.
Yeah, fair point. I think that Hartley's going to finish with a better classified result than Daniil Kvyat. Oh, dear. Poor Daniil. Let's ping Esteban Ocon ahead of Perez in the race. Let's also have Carlos Sainz qualifying within half a second of Nico Hülkenberg. I think that's all right. And let's say that the fastest pole position time will be a 1:32.253. There we go. Nailed that. I think that's it. Not that exciting. But there we go. Job done. Drew T, you're tapping away on Richard's phone. That's interesting. Any predictions gratefully received?
I've got Sainz will not finish.
Oof.
Vettel will get fastest lap. And I think for a kudos point, I'll go with someone's helmet will break, but not in a horrible way.
Okay. But not in a horrible way. Not in a horrible way. I like that.
Like a visor come loose.
Or we could, you know, extend it slightly to the vicinity of the, as long as no one suffers an injury, which I'm sure they won't. Great impact on the prediction lead, Drew T. Appreciate that. All right, I think we're done. And we've all got to be somewhere. So I hope you enjoyed the predictions. Of course, you can get yours in too. You can do it on our social media channels. Twitter, Instagram and Facebook are all at the NRF1. It's the handle. You can email them to us, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Get them to us. The only rule, you need to do it before the start of FP1 in Austin, which will be, of course, Friday afternoon, our time, and normal time if you're in the US. Figure out yourselves. Check the F1 app. It'll be great. We are done. So it just leaves to say goodbye. So goodbye, Callum.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Rich.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Drew T.
Bye.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me. Very goodbye to you. Thanks to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up at gpro.net/NRF1. This has been the NRF1 podcast. Here's to an Austin maestro we can all enjoy at the weekend. And as always, we'll see you on the other side to get stuck into the leftover Tex-Mex. Until then, goodbye.